And our special guest where we'll take your phone calls tonight, Jay Widener, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, you can become a Coast Insider for just pennies a day, so you might want to go to coasttocoastam.com to sign up for that. Let's come back with Jay in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, we're with Jay Widener. We're going to take your phone calls this hour, this entire hour. So are you doing the Book of Aquarius remedy yourself?
I am. Yes.
And is it working for you?
There are thousands of us doing it.
Do you feel a difference?
Oh, no, I haven't finished the experiment. No, I'm not taking it yet. No, I see what you mean. No. No, I'm still in the building stage. I'll let you know, though.
You do that 400 years from now, all right?
Well, when you're on the air in 3012.
As Dexter Monterey, according to Dr. Bruce Goldberg. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Hartford, Connecticut, east of the Rockies. Alan, go ahead.
Good evening, fellas. A fantastic show, like usual.
Thank you, sir.
I'll take my answer on the air, if I might. I've got a question for your guest, and that is about the Philosopher's Stone. And I have a book that I sent away for on the Internet, or I tracked him down somehow, by a young man named Nicholas Collett. Is your guest familiar with this book?
I am.
And would you say that his formula is in concert with what you're aware of?
I would. I would say that it's one of the books that have been released recently, which is taking us very close to the precipice of this new reality, yes.
Thanks, sir. Now, listen, I'm in my late 50s. My wife had a stroke 5 years ago, and she's still herself, and thankfully she's still literate and so forth, but she sustained some paralysis, and I've seen the pictures, and she has lost brain tissue. Could there be any efficacy hoped for by the Philosopher's Stone in replacing that tissue specifically?
Definitely, because the brain is a hologram, and we know. So all you really need is to get the things that that keep you young up there in the brain, and she can fully recover. You can fully recover from gunshot wounds, and I mean the lore is pretty clear that. That this stuff is really powerful, and they say in the lore that if you take it enough, you don't even need to eat anymore or anything. So it's a very powerful thing, and it's really our human destiny in a way.
Do you think this formula has already been obtained by the elites, and they're running with it?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I've heard that there's a factory somewhere in Europe, which is just making it for the elites, and it's and they've had it for years. I believe they've had it for a long time, and I believe it's one of the ways that they get the elites to do the bidding is by giving them this elixir. And so the one thing I can guarantee you, every person who's very wealthy wants to live a long time. I've been around a lot of wealthy people. They think that I have the elixir of life, even though I don't. I look like I'm 58. I don't know what they're thinking, but they still think I might have it, and they become very peculiar when they think that there's a chance that they can live a long time, and I really wouldn't want to be around them if someone said no to them. But if it's out everywhere, we don't have to worry about those things, and that's one of the things I'm trying to do.
Jeremy's in San Diego, west of the Rockies. You're on with Jay Widener. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Good morning, George, Mr. Widener.
Hey.
George, I've been listening since 2004, and I just wanted to thank you for all keeping me up through the nights, and it's great.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, George. Mr. Widener, I was wondering if about a year ago I had a chance to, I came into a little money, and I had a chance to move, and I'm in the process of moving to Florida. I've visited there several times. And George says a lot of times, if America goes down, he's going down with the ship. He's not going to go abroad. I've been all over the world. I could run, too, and I'm not. Not only am I not going to move to the mountains, I'm an ex-snowboarder. I've lived in Bellingham, Mammoth Lakes, Park City. Thinking about moving up to Denver, Steamboat Springs or Boulder or something to get up in the mountains and all that, and I'm not. I'm going to live in Florida. And the question I have for you is, do you think we can get around this somehow and weather the storm, or am I just going to have to go down with the ship in Florida and
Well, that's a great question. I'm with you two guys. I've been invited, my wife and I have been invited to leave the country by concerned friends who think that America is about to go down and we're all going to be in huge amount of trouble. But you know what? I think I have to stick it out, too, like you guys. I figure that, you know, this is my country. I don't know where else I really could go. I'd just be an alien somewhere else. And I love this place. I don't want it to fall apart. I'm with you, and I think we can stop it. I think human beings have an innate creative ability that we do not tap enough. And I think if we start tapping it, we can come up with the ideas that necessary to solve the problems. I hope, you know. But this thing is reaching a crescendo right now, just right on time with 2012. And, you know, the place to be is coast to coast. And if we get shows like this every night, you guys are going to be completely informed. So I don't know what else to say. You know, it's going to be a rocky ride, a white-knuckle ride.
Tell me a little bit about the mysteries of that book that you wrote, The Great Cross of Hendaye.
Well, it's about alchemy, about the timing of alchemy. It's a cross. It's in the south of France. We'll call town Hendaye or Hendaye if you're in French, and it's a peculiar monument in that it predicts the end of an age. Is that there's a 26,000 year cycle, and at the end of the 26,000 year cycle, something happens with the sun. It gets angry, and I've correlated this with ice ages and with the astrological signs of Aquarius, Scorpio, Leo, and Taurus. Every time we go into one of these signs, there's like a seasonal shift here on Earth. And we're going through the mother of all shifts, according to this kind of cosmology right now. And we've been going through it since 2002. Even into the 90s, 1998, when the galactic alignment actually happened. And the Cross of Hendaye says that there is going to be a lot of tumultuous things that happen. But in the end, it promises that the Philosopher's Stone will be rediscovered and distributed across the planet, and a golden age will result because of that discovery. In other words, the golden age, this great age where men live for a long time and women and men love each other in the earth and everything's really hunky-dory and all that, that is directly related to the rediscovery of the Philosopher's Stone, which happens in the age of Aquarius, which is why Aquarius is a person with a vase of water, because you make alchemy in a vase or in a retort, and it's a magical water. That's how you make it, and that's why the Age of Aquarius has that symbol, because every 26,000 years, we rediscover what it was we were missing, and then we can go on and fulfill our destiny of the human race, which we've been, you know, really not doing a very good job of in the last 2,000 years.
No, we really aren't, are we?
No, it's been pretty bad, and lately it's been really bad, and I share Steve Quayle's fears for what's about to happen here, and I think we have to be vigilant, and I think we have to also be creative and think of ways out. It isn't a done deal.
Jay, how did you get involved with the Sacred Mysteries Productions, and what got you in that direction?
Well, I was, like everybody else, it was the late 90s, and I was kind of upset because the media was just portraying all the negative things that were going on. I'm talking about television and videos and films. And so my wife and I, Sharon Rose and I, decided that we would create a company that just accentuated more of the positive side of the human experience. And so we created videos which are about esoteric ideas presented in a professional manner that explore sound healing, alternative health, the light body, alchemy, women's mysteries. We just added David Icke's new film, Radical Truth, Knowledge and Revolution. We also have a YouTube station which has 700,000 hits called Sacred Mysteries TV on YouTube, in which we're giving away hundreds and hundreds of videos to people to spread this kind of message that it's not a done deal, that we are in control of our destiny. And what you're doing, George, only we're just doing it through video. We're trying to spread information out in a positive way and in a professional manner so that we're not considered, like cranks, like people would normally consider people out on the edge. And I think if you present esoteric and fringe information in a professional manner, I think you can get people convinced that there's something to it. I think Coast is proof of that, and I think Sacred Mysteries is proof of that.
Okay, let's go next to West Paducah, Kentucky. It's Rod's turn on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Rod.
Hey, George, it's an honor to finally speak with you. I've been listening since 2000. I got to say, you're without a doubt one of the greatest, if not the greatest, and most, I don't even know the word to explain, just radio host, man. You let everybody get their words across, and you let everybody say what they got to say, and there's not another host out there that does it like you do, brother.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, Mr. Weiner, it's good to talk to you. Real quick, I want to get like a comparison here. I've been studying traditional Chinese Kung Fu for many years now. Not the Wushu, not the McDojo stuff you see, from a real family inherited art, a style that's been passed down from generation to generation for about 600 years. Now then, we have, I guess, what you would call esoteric or secret skills, such as like iron palm, iron shirt, a lot of the poison hand skills, things like that. Well, one of the skills that we're taught is longevity. Now, we do ours through Qigong and also traditional Chinese herbs. And I can tell you that these herbal secrets, like you're saying, they're highly guarded secrets. When a family was given a formula, they would guard this secret, up to the death with these things. They would not know other families to find out about it. And I can tell you it does work. It really will. Using traditional Chinese herbs such as, I can't give a list out, but high-quality ginseng, high-quality deer antler velvet, things like that, either brewed as a type of tea boiled or extracted through alcohol. And then you take certain amounts throughout certain times of the day, certain times of the year, along with these meditative Qigong exercises, and I can attest that they do work for longevity, health, regeneration of organs, regeneration of wounds, and things like that. How does yours, what you are doing, compare to this, if it does compare at all?
Well, what happened with the Taoists, and I'm a Taoist, is that they were the lore says that they actually had the stone and the elixir of life, the golden flower, they called it. And it was outlawed by an emperor, and they couldn't do it, and so they developed all these practices that you're talking about to replace the chi charge that they were now missing. And this happened everywhere on Earth, in Europe, in Egypt, the same exact story in India. It was slowly outlawed so that only the elites could have it, and it was driven underground and eventually actually routed, and people were killed who were practicing it. And it is even now today in China called the most dangerous art. And China, the government of China, the first thing they did when they took over was took out all of the Taoist temples and got rid of all the Taoist masters, and they all came to America, fortunately, and other places, and because they don't want anybody practicing these forms of high art. And this is not magic, folks. We're not talking about magic. We're talking about something that's practical and real, just like an apple or eating your veggies. So it's not some spiritual thing. It could have a spiritual aspect, but that's not what this is. This is a physical way to get chi. And the Taoists are the ones who hold the closest truth to the secret of alchemy.
How did they suppress the information, Jay? How did they hide it from us?
First, they took it. They would seduce the alchemists into releasing the information, and then they would kill them. And this happened over and over and over. Paracelsus, the famous German alchemist, would in the 1500s, he would literally empty hospitals out by sprinkling some strange white powder on the patient's tongue. And this would infuriate the doctors because it was their way of living. And one day after emptying out a hospital, He went into a pub to have a glass of red wine and keeled over dead, and someone had poisoned him, and they swiped his powder, his elixir. And so it's a dangerous thing. That's why we have to do it with thousands of people to remove the dangers from the few who are doing it and overwhelm the zone.
Let's go to Palm Springs. Arthur, take it away. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Arthur.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Arthur.
Okay. George, great show. And Mr. Leitner, I have a question about making the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm.
With the transmutation, with the ingredients given to, to the listeners that you said,
yes.
Does it have anything to do with transmutation circles from other past documents of alchemy?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it does. I don't know if it has anything to do with other circles, but it is about the transmutation, and he gives the best description of how to do it and the best documentation on it historically that I've ever seen. And that's why I encourage people to get the book, and it's what it's all about. We're trying to transmute not only our bodies but the entire society and culture and get away from this toxic war environment that we've caught ourselves in for the last 6,000 years.
Do you believe that the author of the Book of Aquarius might have been a whistleblower from the inside, Jay?
I absolutely do, George. That's a dang good question. I should have known you were going to ask that. I do. I think he's an insider, and I think that he's afraid, and maybe he should be. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe he should be. Ronald in Toronto. Go ahead, Ronald. You're up with us.
Yes, hello, Mr. Widener. I want to mention that I lived in London back in the 70s, and I had the privilege of meeting Stanley Kubrick there. And I was up to his house north of London near the film studio.
Yeah.
He had two homes. One of them was where he lived, and the other one next door was where he had a film, where he had his film a unit, where he worked at home and did a lot of things there. I'd like to mention that things that you've mentioned on the program, the New York Times, every Tuesday, they have a science section. You ought to contact them so that they could have an article about alchemy and how things are done. And places that you mentioned on the moon, for example, they could write about that, have their science reporters look into it, and so forth, so that people, the general public, could become much better informed about these things.
Well, that's a good idea.
I love your comments, but I don't think the New York Times is going to talk about what's really up on the moon or about alchemy. You're going to have to come to Coast to Coast.
We're going to come back with final phone calls with Jay Widener in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Robert Gleason joins us as we talk about end days. It could happen today. Are you ready? Get ready for this. It's an incredible story, and we'll have it right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Final segment here with Jay Widener. So let's go right to the calls. Houston, Texas, we go. Hello, Becky. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing, George?
You're doing great. Thank you.
I just want to say that we all love your show because you bring us the truth and bring us guests that can bring us the truth. We appreciate you.
You are welcome.
My question is, if you're, say, 65 and you drink this elixir, are you still going to have all the aches and pains that you do now, or does it fix all that?
No, those go away. Yeah. To go full hog here, if you take the elixir enough, you can reverse your aging process and take yourself back to a time where you looked and felt better.
Jay, what's to prevent a company from downloading the Book of the Aquarius, grabbing the formula, perfecting this, and taking it out to the marketplace?
That would be the most wonderful thing that could ever happen. You know, we're in what the ancients called the Kali Yuga, or the Iron Age, which is supposed to be the worst of the four ages. But the Iron Age gives birth to the Golden Age. And so everyone wonders, well, how does that happen? And I'm telling you, this is the formula. This is the recipe. Iron Age, the Kali Yuga, creates all this incredible technology, including the Internet. The ancient secrets are rediscovered, redistributed openly through the Internet. All the secrets are going to fall away, and the best thing that could happen is for a highly advanced chemist to, and with a company, to get to work on this and get it rolling. However, I think it'll still be sort of like Steve Jobs. It'll be done in somebody's garage.
Or even like get it and test it on mice or something, even though you...
Yeah, well, that's already been done. I mean, they've known about this stuff, I'm telling you. I have assays from Princeton and Harvard from 20, 30 years ago, where they are taking old mice and turning them into young mice, and vice versa, taking young mice and turning them into old mice. This is published material. So the elites have known about all this stuff, but they've been suppressing it. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. I'm 100% sure of this.
Okay, we've got Roger in Grandy, North Carolina. He's waiting for you, Jay. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, hi, George. Thank you so much for your hard work. And Jay, I got a question about listening to this radio just for a short time now, but is it any of this connected to this with Atlantis? Their crystal and the pyramids was supposed to be shaped with certain powers and of light, and the sun with Atlantis and their crystal.
Yeah, that's the civilization from which alchemy was their major science, which disappeared 12,000 years ago in a catastrophe, and we, the human race, has been reeling ever since, trying to find our way.
Yes, it sounds like know the truth and set you free, and I'm a lover of liberty.
Me too. I'm a great lover of liberty too, which is why I love the United States.
Tell me more about Charles Hall and how he fits into these pieces.
Well, Charles was just a young guy stationed at Nellis Air Force Base, mm-hmm. and he was all alone. It was the 1960s, and he was basically a guy running this little landing strip out there in the middle of the desert, and all he did was supposed to flag planes in, or, you know, flag them off, turn off the lights, and clean the place up, and take care of the place, and he was all alone. And he began interacting with these creatures that lived in the area, and it's a very sincere telling. It's not someone telling you something sensational. In fact, it's kind of boring in a way, but it's fascinating, and these creatures are these chalk white cousins of ours. And right after he had his interactions with these creatures, they pretty much sealed off the entire area of Area 51, and he is saying today in interviews that he thinks that is a colony of these crypto-terrestrials. And that's one of the reasons why they're cordoning them off. And there's, like, technology exchanges going on. And there's other places, too. It's not just Area 51 where these creatures have been seen, but Mount Shasta and a lot of other places.
All right, Charles has been on the program before, so he's one and the same. Let's go to... One-Eyed Jack in Mankato, Minnesota. Hey there, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing just great. How are you doing, George?
Good. All is well.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Interesting show. You know, you listen to what this gentleman has to say, and I'll tell you, you know, when you get older in your years, you start to look at everything as a conspiracy, and... I don't know. I think he's right on.
Well, I think he is too, and he brings some incredible facts, Jack, to the table. And Jay, I guess there are some times I bet you wish you were wrong.
Yeah, more and more. You know, my favorite line from any movie is Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park when he says, "I'm really getting tired of being right about all this." And that's sort of how I feel about the world. I keep trying to tell people that they need to, you know, hunker down and get ready, but nobody seems to be listening, which is why I like the Coast audience, because at least I know there's one group of Americans that are actually paying attention, waking up, getting to understand. It's not necessarily that everything's a conspiracy, but there are just things that are being kept hidden from us that we need to get out. It's actually up to us to get it out. It's not really up to the people who know it, because they already know it. It's not a big thing to them, but to us it is. And so I think we need to realize that there's not so much a whole bunch of conspiracy, but more like just a little bit of criminal activity mixed in with some gossip and a lot of other things. And I think that's really what we're dealing with here. And now it's got to the point where the whole system is so thoroughly corrupted that it's either going to collapse of its own weight, or we have to find a way to remake it. And hopefully it'll be the latter that we choose and not the former.
Jay, what do you think they want? What are they after?
I think they're kind of tapping our chi. I think that they put us into a somnambulist state with television and drugs and the bad food. And I think they're like a you know, vampiric in a way. And they kind of, that's why they need us. And they're controlling us in that way. I think they're trying to take our life energy. And I think that they're keeping us in this kind of half of sleep state because it serves their needs. And, I think we need to wake up. I think we can through these devices like alchemy and some of the other things like yoga and tai chi and qigong and a lot of these other ancient disciplines, which are designed to bolster your own inner life energy.
Charlotte, North Carolina, it's Jim's turn, and there you go, Jim. Go ahead.
First off, anybody that's a fan of Stanley Kubrick's a friend of mine. Okay. Greatest director of all time.
Sure.
Jay, interesting show. I back in 79, 80, as a contemporary of DiPietro Molinar, I found that book, Somebody Else Is on the Moon, found a number of copies, and actually took George Leonard's advice. This is 79, 80. Got stacks of photos from Bear Labs, and these were, I had the chance some years later to go in person. And the condition that these collections were in were really pitiful. You had beautiful 8x10 images jammed in file drawers and folded in half. And it was really a treasure trove. Here's what I've come to find that I took all that stuff. I did my own research. And then what's interesting about UFOlogy, there's something that happens. The internet wasn't around in 79, 80, yet all my research now has been put up on the internet. I'm 40 years older, and I question everything. There are times where, like you, I think, when I was younger, everything was conspiracy. I got a little bit older and had kids, and I said, that's just a little bit too much to bite. As I get even older yet, I come back to my original thought that there are a lot of conspiracies. Some of the images that I had and some of the objects that were in these images were shocking. I mean, it's one thing to see them as a lithograph and a photo in a book, but to get the 8x10, to get the original negatives and play around with them, lightening them and darkening them is really something. I used to appear all the time on Bill Jenkins' show, Open Mind, back in L.A., and I'll tell you that I introduced these photographs, the moon photographs, to Hoagland when he was doing his Mars research. And just to show you the way this business really is, within half a year, Hoagland was claiming all this stuff about these photos that were his research. You can believe that. You don't have to believe it. That information's out there. Truth is, this is a very insidious business. I think there is a kernel of truth to all this. Jay, I think you're spot on. But I think there are a lot of, and you may not agree with me, but I think there are a lot of guys that have lost their mind going through these photos. And the last thing I wanted to tell you, I've watched these pictures ruin people's lives from George Leonard on up. I got out of it for 15, 20 years. I was smart to do that, disavowed myself of all this. But the truth is, I've seen marriages crumble. I've seen people take their lives because of these damn photos. And I know in the end, friends that I've shown these through the years, there'll be that moment in the next 10 years or so where they'll say, wow, you were right.
Yeah, well, that's a very good phone call because actually that cost me my first marriage.
Really?
Yeah, these Apollo photographs. My first wife really thought that maybe I had lost my mind. And I was going through these 8x10s, just as the gentleman said, and doing enlargements in my photography with them. And I was finding things out and seeing things that still to this day are so mind-boggling, so unbelievable, that I don't even know how or what to say. I went to a University of Washington geology professor who told me he was an expert on the moon and showed him some of the things that I was finding, and this was in the 90s, and he looked at my photographs, didn't say a word, went through them. About 15 minutes later, his hand was shaking so bad that he just got up from the desk and said, well, I can't look at these anymore. I really don't know anything about the moon. This is a half hour after he told me that he was an expert. So I know what you're talking about, and I don't know what to make of all that stuff that's in those photographs. It's the weirdest things in the world. So.
Reva in Los Angeles, welcome to the program. Hi, Reva.
Hi, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my question is that this alchemy that you're talking about, is it the same alchemy as Aleister Crowley was studying and trying to perfect?
No, Aleister Crowley.
It's a whole different thing. And L. Ron Hubbard studied that, and then he was doing it. He was trying to perfect this. And so is it a different alchemy are you talking about?
Well, those guys were doing occult work. They were doing ritual magic and sex magic, L. Ron and Jack Parsons and Aleister. No, I'm not talking about it. I'm not interested in any of that. I'm not interested in magic or sex magic or any of that. I'm interested in things that I can touch and feel and are tangible. No, this is real. This isn't some fantasy by some crazy guy. This is something very real. It's it has an efficacy, it has a tangibility, it's like food or anything else in the world. So, no, what they were doing was pursuing something that is in some ways kind of sick, and I'm not really interested in any of that.
All right, good for you. Hot Springs, Arkansas. James, you're up with Jay Widener. Go ahead.
First, I want to echo what the caller said earlier, George. I've listened to talk radio since the days of Jim Bohannon and Larry King. I'm 44. It's not a lot of options back then, and you are the best I've ever heard, and I believe God has his hand on you exactly for this time in history. And, Jay, your documentary on Kubrick was mind-blowing. I beg, plead with anybody who studies anything about the New World Order to go to your website, get that one. I'm chomping at the bit for the next one. I just wanted to ask, would you maybe, for those that don't get to, haven't got to see it yet, can you explain how the front screen projection that he had done, and I want to just, before I ask this real fast, I grew up in Vegas as well, Nellis Air Force Base. At our church, we went to Baptist Church there, three members were former military who worked for Wackenhut, and when you got those guys alone, they kept their secrets, they were, they took those vows seriously, the government, but the things they could talk about the space program, they would all say separately, I mean, over years of knowing these people, that what you saw on the Apollo missions was for public consumption. They said you've never had an advancement in technology where man has gone from whether it was walking to flying to anything where somebody didn't die. And they didn't want you to see the astronauts that were killed in that process along the way, usually through the Air Force space program. The Apollo was for public consumption, and your documentary just blows my mind in proving that. And could you help us understand why your front screen projection expose is just fingerprint prima facie that was Stanley Kubrick? And I thank you, Jay. Can't wait for the next DVD. And could you tell us when that one will be out, please?
Well, I'm working as hard as I can. I have a new feature film called Shasta, which I have to get out first. But, you know, you're spot on what you're saying. And so hopefully I'll have this next one out soon. But, yeah, the things that you hear these guys tell you over a glass of wine away from, you know, their superiors is quite surprising. And Stanley knew about this. He was rubbing shoulders with the German scientists who developed the programs for Hitler. His wife's family, the Harlins, were Germans. His wife's uncle was Leni Riefenstahl's cameraman. He made the film for the Nazis about the Jews in Warsaw. So there's all these links between Kubrick and all these highfalutin German scientists and things, which are quite interesting.
Hey, Jay, hold on for 1 second. Richard, I only got a few seconds here, and Richard Hoagland sent us a little rebuttal on the caller before last. And he said, and I'm quoting Richard here just to get his side. He said, the caller is absolutely lying about ever handing me any 8x10s of lunar structures on the moon. My research started when I was at NASA Goddard, and I got the images from Ken Johnson in 1995. So there's Richard's statement, and there you go.
I was there, and then Richard's right. I remember when I was there in the room when Ken Johnson got in the stuff. So I know that Richard's right there, and I don't know what the other caller was talking about. All the images I got from Richard or through Ames or through those. So
all right, Jay, thank you so much. Jay Widener, his website's all linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Fascinating program. Thank you, Jay. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Will Wilkerson, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.